in looking at the sovereignty of God, there are two things imperative for you to remember. And one is that God chose in his sovereignty to make man after the likeness of his image. And that the image of God in man is that God made man with the ability to reason and think things through and make moral choices based on the training of his conscience. Now, that's imperative for you to know. That was God's sovereign will to do that. Now, when man chose to sin and to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, in God's goodness, grace, love, mercy, and kindness, he did not destroy the human race, but he chose to glorify himself by making a way of salvation. By making a way of salvation. And all the way through the Bible, God said in the Old Testament, concerning the moral law, I have set before you life and death. Now, he's not talking about if you keep all the commandments that you'll be saved. He's talking about that if you obey him, you will live a life of satisfaction and peace and security. But if you choose to disobey him, you'll experience death. You'll experience ruin, destruction, and separation. That's what he says. Now, just a casual reading through the Bible, you see men's choices. And I want us to think for a minute about the lives that we know about and the lives that we have even studied with Adam and Eve. Because of their choice, destruction and ruin and death came to how many people? All people. Did God choose that for them? Or is that a result of their choice? It was a result of their choice. Has it affected us all? Will it continue to affect all men for all time? Yes. Is that God's choice that they would have chosen that for the human race? No. It is not what he would have chosen for man. Why? It will deny everything about him. Now, the thing you have to know is many times we hear people say things. Now, Charles Strickland was one of the most educated pastors I've ever had. And we were talking about something one day, and he said this to me. Many times, Mikey, I'm as guilty as every other pastor to repeat things I've heard without checking it out. We're all guilty of doing that. And so I think the expression, God's in control, is due to that. It's due to the fact we just haven't thought about what we're saying and the ramifications of what we're saying. It's not that we're saying anything contrary to God or anything hurtful to people. But that is probably the most hurtful concept to people in pain that we can ever say. Because it doesn't comfort the human heart when you tell people when they're in pain that God's in control. That doesn't help. I've had people say to me when somebody would suffer a tragedy, the loss of a child or the loss of a parent or a mate or somebody they really loved, you know, somebody would say to them, well, God permitted it for a reason. Now, that doesn't bring comfort to the heart. If people understand how God made things originally, that God made man in the likeness of his image, with the ability to reason and think things through and make moral choices. But that's the way God made things. And because God chose to make it that way, he doesn't interfere with it. That's the way he chose to make things. That's the way he chose to make man. Now, people are always saying, well, God can do anything. God can never act contrary to who he is. And I've told y'all before, there are some things in Scripture that are difficult. And when you have difficulty understanding something, or you've heard something, you always take it back to what you know to be true about God. Because you know he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you know that God is a God of infinite love. Infinite meaning boundless. He's a God of infinite grace and mercy and truth and goodness. And if it doesn't line up with who he is, he doesn't have anything to do with it. Right? And usually it's somehow connected with the fall of man. We just don't understand how much the fall affected everything. It affected everything. And because we haven't thought about it and maybe haven't been taught it, we just, in fact, somebody that's been in my classes for a while said one day, I still don't understand why God made us with such frail bodies. And I thought, how have you sat under what all I've said and come to that conclusion? God didn't make us with frail bodies. He didn't make us that way. That is a result of the fall. Now, sometimes it's also a result of us not taking care of ourselves, and sometimes it's a result of some genetic predispositions. So all of those things come to play. But because people don't understand the basics, they blame God for things, and as a result, people separate themselves from God. They don't want anything to do with somebody that's like that. And y'all, it's the most hurtful thing in the world to me when I hear people say those things, because it would be like someone coming to me and saying, you know, Bob Clardy is the most immoral man around. I'd be so angry with him, I'd want to snatch them bald-headed. And my back would come up, and I would defend him vehemently. See, when you love somebody and you know somebody, and somebody says something contrary to who you know them to be, you don't like it. And you're going to defend it. And you're going to say, that's not the person that I know. Y'all follow what I'm saying? And so we've spent all this time looking at the attributes of God. Now, I want to tell you something. The one that I know, the one I belong to, and the one that I love, is a God of infinite mercy, infinite grace and goodness, incredible infinite love. And when I hear of the pain that people go through as a result of their sin, someone else's sin or Adam's sin, my heart's broken for them. And this is what I know. If it breaks my heart, it breaks God's heart too. Now, God didn't make the world to be that way. What we do know about God is if somebody comes to him, then he will begin to restore the years that the locust has eaten. Can you ever make up for those things that were lost? No. But God has an incredible ability as we work with him, as we start doing what is right, because we're going to reap what we sow. If we sow to the flesh, we're going to reap corruption. If we begin to sow to the Spirit and do what's right, that crop's going to come in too. And we have to know that. And you know, that's a real hope that you can give people. And you have to explain, no, you can't make up the years you've lost. And one of the things that people have to know is we all have free will. We all do. And many times, you can hurt somebody, you maybe didn't mean to, but you hurt somebody, and they won't forgive you. Now, God won't make them forgive you, because they have a choice. And so that situation can never be right. But it is up to you, if you have wronged anyone, to make it as right as you can make it. And to not spare yourself, you know, to say, and you can be real honest with people. You know, I was beyond myself at this time in my life. I was young and dumb. I was caught up in this. I was caught up in that. I would never have hurt you. I love you. But I did hurt you, and I'm asking you to forgive me. That we should always do. Can you restore all of that? No. But that brings healing to the person you hurt. When you take responsibility for your actions and you say to them, I didn't mean to hurt you. And even if you did mean to hurt them, when you're convicted of it, you need to tell them, because it'll bring healing to them and it'll bring healing to you, but it'll also make your relationship with God more what it should be. Because you can't be right with God if you're not right with your brother in so much as you can be. Now again, if he's unwilling, there's nothing you can do about that, because he has chosen that. And many times, that is the consequences of a lot of wrong relationships, is people are unwilling to do the right thing. God will not make people do the right thing. He will seek to work in their circumstances and to work in their heart, but we can always say no to God. You know that? I know that. We've all done it. And when we've done it, we have reaped the consequences of it. So you have to always ask yourself, is this contrary to who I know God to be? All right, let's think about Abraham and Hagar. What was the result of Abraham going into Hagar? Destruction, right? It's always destruction when sin happens. There's always destruction. Has that affected even our world today? It's affected even our world today. Did God make it happen? Was God anywhere in all of that? No. So, was God in control? All right. What about Joseph and Joseph's brothers? Did God make Joseph's brothers jealous? No. Was their envy of Joseph used by God? Yes. Was God in control when Potiphar's wife was seeking Joseph to be immoral with her? No. That was her choice. Now, he chose to do what was right. He chose to yield to the control of God. Do y'all see what I'm saying? All right. He ended up, she lied about him. Did God make her lie? No. But did God use her lies to train Joseph while he was in prison? Yes. The Bible clearly says that. When he was fully trained, did God use what had happened to him because he responded properly? Did God use him to bring the people, the family, into Egypt? Yes, he did. Now, this is the true sovereignty of God. Because God is eternal, he dwells in the ever-present now. He knows what evil people are going to do. And when you have someone do you evil, when you are faced with someone else's evil, if you choose to do right, God will use it for his purposes in your life. Romans 8:28-29. He will use that to conform you into the image of his son, and he may even use it to get you from one place to another. Or he may use it, like Joseph, to train you for something greater. You cannot do anything about somebody else. But what you can do is know that the true sovereignty of God is because he knows all things before they happen. And he knows all men. That he is able to use even other people's sin to accomplish His will in you and for you, but you must respond properly in the situation. If you don't, you suffer loss. Y'all got that? Now, that's the true sovereignty of God. And that's where you can rest. You can say, doesn't matter what anybody does to me, I'm not moving. I'm going to do what is right, no matter what other people do. I'm going to trust the Lord in it all to work together for my good. And He may, many times when people lose their job, maybe somebody's lied about them, or maybe somebody's undermined them in some way. That's wrong and that's evil. But many times, y'all, we're all such rut lovers. We'd never make changes if God didn't make us sometimes. And so God wants to put them in another place, and so He doesn't cause it, but He uses it because He knows what people will do, and so He uses it. That's called wisdom. That's God's wisdom. And so whenever things are going on, you don't have to work it out and you don't have to figure it out. Because many times, most of the time, in fact, I would venture to say, almost all the time, we have no idea how God's going to use the bad things in our life to accomplish His will in us. I've had people say, well, God's working in me this or this or this. And I've said to them, you have no clue what God's working in you, except in some way it's Christ-likeness, because that's a promise. That He will cause all things to work together for your good, because whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. But now, in that verse, it says, for those who love Him. And the Bible says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So your part in the situation is you've got to do what's right. And if you do what's right, then it's going to result in your good in every way. Nobody, nobody can thwart the will of God for you but you. I've told y'all that repeatedly. And you've got to know that. You don't need to be anxious or worried about anything. If God's called you to something, only you can hinder it. And we've looked at that so many times. We have looked at that. That people who did wrong and it hindered what God had for them. Alright, in Egypt, when Pharaoh is killing all the babies because he's so afraid of the Israelites multiplying, is God in control? No. No, He's in control. Now, He's not in control because that is His choice. Now, did Pharaoh's choice hurt many people? Yes, it did. Yes, it did. And so, when we're in positions of leadership, if we make wrong choices, it's going to cause other people to suffer. And we have to be aware of that. And that person will give an account to God. But again, look at Moses' mother. Did she respond rightly in the situation? When she did God protect her child? Did God know what was going to happen? Did God use what was going to happen to train Moses? Did He? Yes, He used it because He is able to use even evil and ungodly men for His purposes. And we have to know that. Now, if you know that, you'll never fret and you'll never worry. But you will rest in the Lord, but you'll also be aware of this. I better do the right thing. It doesn't matter what other people do. I have to do the right thing. And I have to trust in the Lord. Now, what is going on in our nation, y'all, most people are really getting worried about it. I don't know how true this is, but Katie told me yesterday that they had found Ebola in the feces of dogs. Now, if this is true, and your dog gets Ebola, and your dog licks you, or wets in the house, you're going to get it. That's a cause, should be a cause of great concern. And on the news the other day, and I haven't heard the news since I've been home from this weekend, but on the news the other day, it said there were 100 people in Libya a day getting visas, and they're wanting to come to the United States because they get free medical treatment, and they're not going to do a no-fly. They're going to let them come. Now, that should be a cause of prayer, right? Should be a great cause of prayer, because here we got Ebola coming to our country, and here we've got open borders and people with ISIS coming in here. There's only one solution, right? We need to seek God. We need to seek God, because only God in this instance can protect us. Is God making those things happen? No. Let me tell you this. God may be going to use these things to punish America's sin. And if God does use these things to punish America's sin, you and I are not going to be exempt from anything that happens. Because when God punished both Jerusalem and the Northern Kingdom, people who were righteous suffered. And there were, everybody was worshiping idols. There were some people who were righteous. And it was so severe, and the prophets had foretold this, that the woman who was so delicate, she would not put her feet on the floor for delicateness, would boil and eat her own baby. And that happened. And that happened. And Josephus, in his account of Israel's history, tells the woman, her heritage, and how she did that. Now, that's what I'm talking about sometimes people can be in such bad situations, they'll do things they otherwise wouldn't do. But did God spare any of those people? Nope, they didn't. Now, what you and I have to know is God says, He doesn't suggest, that He commands us to pray for those in authority over us that we might live in peace. Turn that around. If we don't pray, will we live in peace? No, we won't. Now, how many Christians do you know that pray for America every day in the leadership every day? See? People say, well, God's in control. So they become passive. Right? They become passive. And they say, well, God's sovereign, He's in control. So they accept things that are contrary to what God says. He says, you have not because you ask not. And a lot of people have not because they haven't asked. Because they think, well, God's in control, so I'll be lackadaisical. And that attitude of laxity has permeated every part of Christianity. And I talked to y'all about that last week. Every part of Christianity has been totally destroyed because people have become so passive. And people have an idea that God's in control. And I've had people say to me, well, I didn't get my Bible study done because God had such and such and such to happen. It is never a suggestion to study to show yourself approved. It's a command. To study to show yourself approved, a workman under God who need not be ashamed, not rightly dividing the word of truth. People who believe God's in control haven't rightly divided the word of truth. And like I said, most of the time when I'm hearing it in my circles, I think it's just like Charles said, you know, they just haven't thought it through. You know, somebody said it that they felt like was educated and they respected them, and so they just repeated it. We're all guilty of doing that. So I'm not talking about that, but I am talking about people who twist the character of God. There are people, y'all, and they're called Calvinists, that believe that man can't make a choice. That he can't make a choice to come to God. And yet the clear teaching of Scripture is, whosoever what? Will may come. Now this is the way God's worked it out. He shows, and this is what his word says, he shows there's a God by creation and conscience. You don't have to teach a child to do wrong, and you don't have to teach a child there's a God. They intuitively know that. How do they know that? Because God said that's what he does. Now, if people respond to that, they get more light. That's a spiritual law. That's a spiritual principle. And there's always the divine response of man and the drawing of God. And Jesus said, if I be lifted up, talking about the cross, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me. But they take scripture out of context and they weave it together like it's the truth, and they say, well, the Bible says nobody can come unless the Father draw them. Well, that is true. But Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'm going to draw all men to me. Is that what he said? Which one are you going to believe? See, you have to take the whole scripture. And you have to know that when Jesus came into the world, God so loved the world, that is all humanity, that whosoever means you, me, and anybody else, believeth in him, should not perish, but have eternal life. So people are always, always, even believers, they're responding to light or rejecting light, one or the other. You don't stand in neutral. All men everywhere are doing that. And we spend a lot of time looking at the fact that if men respond to the light that they have, that God will send them a messenger. There's a process in people coming to God. But you can know that when people talk about man can't make choices because he's in bondage to his sin nature, that is true. But God is always drawing men, and with every commandment of God goes the grace of God for to enable him to do what God commanded him to do. That is true of you and me, and it is true of lost men, y'all. And none of us would be here unless the Lord had drawn us, and that sweet working of his Spirit that only he can do. But we also were responding to God. We were being brought along in our response. But men can say no. And a great example of that was Judas. He walked with Jesus. He was taught by Jesus. But he chose to deny Jesus. Now, he was making wrong choices so long that Satan finally entered him to betray him. Can that happen to somebody? We've talked about that. He gave an occasion to the devil, and he kept giving an occasion to the devil. And some people think he was predestined to that. Now, I want to ask you something. If God, and see, in the Calvinists, they say God predestined some men to heaven and some men to hell and some babies to heaven and some babies to hell and some angels to follow Satan and some not to. That totally goes against everything that I know to be true about God. Would that be just? Would it be righteous? Would it be good? Would it be kind? Would it be compassionate? Would it be loving? See, it denies every one of the moral attributes of God when you say that. And how they can twist the scriptures like that just blows my mind. It just blows my mind, but it also makes me angry. Because I heard a man one day who was an alcoholic who was being exposed to this say, well, if God wants me to come, if I'm one of the elect, one day I'll come. One day I'll come. And you see, people blame God for things that God is totally does not have anything to do with them. And if you think you can't come unless God supernaturally zaps you, you're going to keep waiting on the zapping. And it'll never happen. It'll never happen. You've got to know, and you've got to tell people, you're making moral choices every minute of your day. And those moral choices determine who you are in this life and in eternity. And that's the way God chose to make man. That's his sovereign choice to do it that way. But you cannot believe things that are contrary to the clear teachings of Scripture. You cannot. They also, we've talked about unconditional election. They believe, even though Scripture teaches different, in limited atonement, that Jesus didn't die for everybody, he only died for the elect. And their reasoning is, if he died for everybody, then his work would be in vain, and God wouldn't let that happen. That's their thinking. No, you see, when men stand before God, every mouth will be shut because God gave men every opportunity to believe and to do what's right. He's given us every opportunity. Every lost man has every opportunity, and every saved man has every opportunity. And we can never give God an excuse for what we did wrong or why we didn't do what was right. Because he's given us, as believers, we've already been given everything we need for an abundant life and godliness. It's our choice to appropriate what we've been given. And people say, well, I don't know. Well, if you don't know, get in Bible study and find out. Right? It's your choice what you do with your time. Is that true? It's your choice what you do with your time. It's your choice what you do with your energy. It's your choice what you do with your money. God's not going to make you do something. And the Holy Spirit is our teacher, y'all. But on the other hand, he says you are to study. How's he going to teach you if you don't study? Right? And if you're not living up to the light you have, you're not going to get any more light. You're never going to see things clearly. And if you don't have a single eye, you will never see things clearly. If you want 1 foot in the world and 1 foot in heaven, you will never really grasp spiritual truth. You'll be about that deep in your walk with the Lord. You may be saved, but this is about as deep as you will ever go. This is it, right here, about this deep. All right, did Pharaoh cause hard labor to the children of Israel? Or was God in control and wanted them to be miserable? Which one was it? It was Pharaoh. It was Pharaoh's hard heart that did that. What about the spies when they went into the promised land to spy it out? And they were in unbelief and all taken up with the giants and they came back. Was God in control? No. Was that the choice of the spies to be afraid of the giants? And was it the choice of Israel to believe and walk in unbelief? Yes. What was the result? 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. Was God in control? God had nothing to do with that. See, I'm always telling people, when they come to me, why did God let that happen to me? And you listen to their story, God wasn't nowhere in that. They're suffering the consequences of wrong choices, theirs and other people's. And until we come to that, we're going to live lives upside down. Upside down. And the more you grasp what I'm talking about to you about the sovereignty of God, the clearer your choices will be and the freer you'll be in life. Because you'll quit wondering about a lot of things that got you upside down right now. You'll quit wondering about it. It'll be settled. Those choices will always affect everybody forever. All right, what about in the time of Judges? What is the descriptive phrase in the book of Judges? Every man did what was right in his own eyes. Was God in control? What? Okay. Yeah, the Bible says God raised up Pharaoh, but it was because God knew Pharaoh's heart.
Well, it says a couple of things in Scripture
that
he hardened.
Yeah, of course he did, because if you harden your heart to God, God's going to harden it back. And see, God knew what kind of man Pharaoh was, therefore he raised him up because he was going to demonstrate his glory before all the world when he brought his people out and disgraced Pharaoh. That's what God will do every time. But see, a person who thinks God's in control and is a Calvinist, they'll say God made Pharaoh that way. Y'all, if God made Pharaoh be that kind of man, what kind of God is he? What kind of God is he? Is he the one you know? He's not the one I know. He is not the one I know. Because the Word of God says he is not willing that any should perish. And do you think God's going to make people do wrong so he can punish not only them but everybody else forever? Is he that way? No, he is not that way. He is not that way. Now, we're just scraping the surface this morning. We're scraping the surface of things that we already know. So how can we ever think sovereignty means God's in control? How can we have ever thought it? You tell me how. You know what I think? It's because we don't think. Because we don't think. All right? What about Saul? When Samuel told Saul, you better get down, wait for me 7 days. And Saul refused to wait for Samuel. What's the result? He lost his kingship. Was God in control? No. Had God told him, if you obey me, I'll establish your kingdom? Yeah. So who was in control? Saul was in control. Not God was in control. Saul made the choice. And he suffered destruction. And other people suffered destruction as a result of it. What about David and Bathsheba? Did God put Bathsheba over there and take David and say, look at that woman now? Is that what happened? No. It was a process of wrong choices on David's part, wrong responses, that he was there at that time. And he made that choice, and he suffered, and his family suffered, and the nation suffered, and everybody suffered as a result of it. Can you say God's in control? No, you can't say God's in control. He made a choice, and everybody suffered as a result. What about Solomon? God said to Solomon, don't marry foreign wives. If you do, they'll turn your heart away from me. Was God in control when he began to marry all those women? No. Did what God said would happen happen? Did God make it happen? No. It's a result of him disobeying God. Do you see that? If you choose this way, it'll be life. If you choose this way, it'll be death, which is destruction and utter ruin and separation. How many people suffered as a result of Solomon's sin?
The whole nation.
Honestly, forever. How about Jeroboam? God said, I'm going to give you 10 tribes. And Jeroboam didn't believe God, so he led the people into idolatry because he was afraid if they went back to Jerusalem to worship, they'd leave him when God already told him. I'll establish your kingdom forever. How many people suffered? The whole nation suffered as a result. Because they went into captivity because he led them into idolatry. Was God in control? Did God cause that, y'all? Who caused it? Jeroboam caused it. It was a result of his unbelief. You believe God because the unbelief of the 10 spies, the unbelief of Jeroboam caused the whole nation to suffer. You believe God, it does not matter what's going on. If God told you, then you can take it to the bank and you better stand on it, because if you don't, it will affect you and it will cause you loss and it will affect everybody else and it will cause them to suffer loss. You never look at the circumstances. You remember who God is. But you got to know who God is, y'all. And you got to know it from looking at his word. And like I told you last week, I don't know how anybody can even casually read through the Old Testament, because this is just a casual little remembering what we've already studied, is it not? It's just casual. Just read through there and you're going to see God's not in control. Man's making moral choices, and every time he makes a bad choice, it destroys everything. It destroys everything. What? Oh, we should. That should be enough illustration. That should be enough. Rehoboam sees what Jeroboam does, and yet he leads the southern kingdom into idolatry too. What's the result of that? They go into captivity to Babylon. How many people are affected? The whole nation. Alright? Are the leaders in America making good choices? Is it affecting everybody? And will it affect everybody for all time? Yes. And somebody asked me the other day, do you think this upcoming election is going to make any difference? You know, the ones coming up in just a few weeks? I said, listen, it will make a difference, but only if we seek God and pray and confess our sins and forsake our wicked ways. If God told Israel, if you will pray, and if you will turn from your wicked ways, and if you will seek my face, I will heal your land. Yes. Now, another thing we also have to consider, and we've talked about this, we're in the end of the end times. And the Bible says in the end of the end times there's going to be total chaos. And there's going to be pestilence and famine and earthquakes and all kinds of chaos going on. And we're in that time. So we may be dealing with both things. But should that stop us from seeking God? Because, y'all, our nation is in sin up above its head. I mean, it can't even see it so far in sin. You can't turn on anything without seeing sin everywhere you turn. You can't not turn on the TV. Even if you turn on CNN or Fox News, they're still talking about sin, even if it's not displaying sin, but everything else is displaying sin. And they're calling evil good and good evil, and half the churches are going along with it all. They're going along with it all. They're saying, oh, Jesus accepted everybody. You need to read your Bible. If he accepts those who repent. He accepts those who repent. All right. What about when Ezra and Nehemiah returned to build? Did they get all kinds of opposition? Is that God being in control? No. Does the devil always seek to hinder, and will sinful men always seek to hinder the will of God? But did they stop? Did they stop and give up and give in? No, and you know where we get the least little bit of opposition. Oh my goodness. And I wonder, if things really get mad in this nation, how many people are going to really survive? Right? Because you know what? I know there are times, and people call about it, talk about being providentially hindered. There are so few times God providentially hinders things that it's not funny. But people will say, well, I didn't feel so good, so, you know, I didn't do this or this that was the will of God. And I've told y'all this before. When I make doctor's appointments, I don't care what the crisis is. I say, this is when I can come. Or this is, I decide what I'm going to do. No, I don't let anybody decide what I'm going to do with my time, money, or energy. I decide that. And if you let other people decide when you're going to come to the doctor, you know when you're going to always have an appointment? And they give it to you on Sunday if they were open on Sunday. Y'all know that? Yeah. But it'll always be Monday morning, and usually between 9:30 and 11:30. Is that true? But see, what you have to do is you have to make the moral choice of where you're going to give yourself. And you have to say when you call, I can come any time but this and this and this time. Then you determine. God gave you that responsibility. But people will say, I'm providentially hindered from doing these things. They're not providentially hindered. They made that choice to do that. Because you're here this morning because you made a choice to be here. There are other places you could have been and other things you could have been doing. But you chose to be here. We all make choices moment by moment about what we're going to do. And so you don't blame that on God, because it doesn't wash with me. It doesn't wash. Now, if you have a major heart attack, do y'all know, and this is the truth, when I had a beauty salon, because women always tend to be just a few minutes late, and a few minutes when you've got a schedule can ruin your whole day. So I put a sign up, if you're 15 minutes late, your appointment's automatically canceled. And you didn't get another one either. And I had a girl be in an automobile accident on her way to the beauty shop, and she called me from the emergency room with a broken jaw. That's the truth. That's the truth. Now that was over a hair appointment. How many people are that sincere about church? Right? And Bible study. How many people? I bet Bob, you'd fall out on the floor if somebody called you like that on Sunday morning and said, I just want you to know why I'm not going to be here. I had an accident. I'm in the emergency. Unless they wanted prayer from the church. You know, the purpose wouldn't be I'm accountable. See, people don't want accountability. Y'all, you're accountable. You just don't know it. You are accountable. And you're going to give an account to the only one that really matters one day for everything you've ever done, thought, and said. Everything. It's all going to be brought out before everybody. So you need to be aware of that. All right, what about Israel's rejection of Jesus as the Messiah? Was God in control? Nope. Jesus wept over Jerusalem. He wept. He said, I would have. Now, was he in control? Because he said, I would have gathered you to myself as a hen gathers its little chickens underneath it. That was his desire. And people say, well, that's the permissive will of God. Well, you know, let's not call it different kinds of wills. Let's just say man has a will and he chooses to do what he chooses to do. And God lets him do it because that's the way God made him. Y'all got that? You got to get that. Because that will determine everything, everything about how you view God and how you view life. If you realize you are a moral agent, a free moral agent, that is going to have to give an account to everything about everything you did and what you did and how it affected everybody else. And our decisions can cause other people to suffer loss. What about Jerusalem's destruction in 70 A.D.? Was that a result of their sin, or did God just decide to destroy them and scatter them among the nations? It was a result of their choice. A result of their choice. Everybody is making choices every minute. You are who you choose to be. You can do anything you choose to do. Now, I know that has to be qualified, but y'all, I've had people say, well, I can't just choose to be anything because of the will of God. Put it in context of what I'm saying. When people say things like that to me, they're just, you know, they're just trying to slither out of what I just said, and I know that, and they really know it too. You are what you choose to be every moment of every day. And every choice you make moment by moment determines everything about you. From your physical health, because if you make bad choices about your health, if you don't get enough sleep, if you don't get enough exercise, if you don't eat properly, it's going to affect your health and you're going to die early. Yep, I know your name is written and your days are numbered. But I also know that you have a choice about whether you're going to live as long as God chose for you to live or not. And you can die early as a choice. Do y'all follow what I'm saying? And you see, it's so wrong of us to blame God when He is not the least bit anywhere around stuff like that. And I tell women, you know, when women get concerned about how they look, when they get fat, fat, and 40. They don't get concerned about it till then. I told Katie yesterday, she was laying in the tanning bed, and I said, Katie, you're going to have a wrinkle so deep, and nobody's going to be able to help you. Plus, statistically, she's going to die with melanoma, because she's in the tanning bed all the time. Can you tell her? And she doesn't want to listen. Y'all follow? I still tell her, but she doesn't want to listen. Now, will she reap the consequences of that? Yeah, I am very well aware of that. Is God in control? No. She is making that choice. When she gets melanoma, and y'all know it can go inward, and if she dies with melanoma, can she blame God? No. Who did it? She did it to herself. Most of the time we do stuff to ourselves. You know, when you're supposed to start taking care of your skin, when you are young, when you're born, that's mama's thing, yeah. But when you are young, you don't, when you get wrinkles, because I don't care what kind of product you don't go out there and buy, this business of reversing the signs of aging doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. It can help soften the wrinkles a little bit, because it'll plump them up a little bit till you wash it off. And you can dye gray hair, but it's still there. And we've talked about this before. Some things just happen with age as a result of the fall. You know, this thing you get right here, you know, when you wave, it waves more than you wave. And I don't care how trim you are, unless you get liposuction, you got this little pot belly right here. It just happens to the best of us. I don't care what you weigh, it happens to the best of us. Look at the skinniest ones. It still happens. That's the result of the fall. But you don't want to add into it, right? You don't want to add into it and just say, oh, well, you know, I'd be like, do y'all know Americans are obese? They're obese. And do y'all know they're calling that a disease now? That's not a disease. That's a bad choice of what you do with your lifestyle. That's so sick. Isn't it sick? See, we call sin a disease. Well, in a sense, it is a disease that all men have. But y'all, sin is a choice. It's a choice of every man, everywhere, all the time. Now I'm going to ask you again, is God in control? Who's in control of your life? Now, let me talk with you a little bit. This weekend at the retreat, I taught on the Holy Spirit's ministry in the life of the believer. And it's a command in Scripture to be filled with the Spirit. And that's a command to believers who already have the indwelling Spirit. But it's a command to be filled, and it's present tense, which means ongoing. All the time you're supposed to be filled with the Spirit. The word filled in the Greek is phileo, and it means to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. So if God's in control, why does He command us to let Him be in control? That's a hard one? No. It tells us that He isn't, and He only is when you choose to let Him be. Do I need to talk about that a little more? Okay. The command is to be controlled or filled with the Spirit. And the command is to walk in the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. All right, those are commands in Scripture. All right, if it's commanded, does it mean you have to obey the command? Does it also mean that God's not in control, but He desires to be in control? Yes. But does it mean you have a choice about whether or not He's in control? You okay? So if God in control? He is if you let Him be. He is if you let Him be. And it is His desire to be, because He only wants what is good for us. Right? Alright. Let's go back and see how some of this can, that thought about God being in control, If God's in control, is he wise if he lets mothers neglect and destroy their children? If he's in control? No. Is he faithful?
No.
If he's in control, and people, the first time as a believer, I experienced something really tragic that really hurt me. I called this friend of mine who was Presbyterian, and they tend to lean to Calvinism. And I told her what had happened, and I was crying. I mean, I was just devastated. And this is what she said. Well, God's in control. Now, this was sin that somebody did that really impacted my life. And I said, what do you mean? And she said, well, God could have stopped it, couldn't he? Now, y'all, that led me into real confusion. Because I couldn't figure how God, who could have stopped something, didn't stop something. Now, God has chosen to limit himself to man's cooperation with him. Lost man, saved man. He chose to do that. That's his sovereign choice. And he blesses those who let him be in control, and those that don't, he lets them reap the consequences. Y'all got that? You better get it.
You know, and that's the Calvin thing. They think that they have to protect God's sovereignty, but it's his sovereignty that allows for him limiting himself in the first place.
That's right.
You're actually limiting his sovereignty by trying to protect it.
That's right.
By saying, hey, I have a choice too.
That's
God
right.
God is so powerful. He's so sovereign. He allows us to do what we want.
It was, you see, what we got to get is God is glorified through our choices. Because if me being a sinful, helpless, without hope person would choose to yield to the love and grace and mercy of God, that glorifies him that such a sinful creature would find him that desirable. Y'all got that? Yes.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but yesterday a preacher went over Philippians 1:9, and this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless. So he talked about making the right choices.
Right.
Making right choices. He said, you always have a choice. Make the right choice.
That's right. And you see, the prayer that Paul prayed there in Philippians is that we may discern by sifting what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And if you believe God's in control, you're just going to kind of bump through life and accept what's happening without overcoming. And the Bible tells us there are things we have to overcome. Without overcoming, and you'll never develop discernment, and you will never be approving the things that are excellent. But again, that's not the mindset of people in America today. They just want to know, what can I get by with? That's what they want to know. What can I get by with? And you can go, most simple thing that we're all subject to, go to a restaurant. And people will figure out their calories to know how close can I get to my calorie count without going over. That's their mindset. Not just about weight, but about everything else. How much can I get by with? That's their mindset. And that's carried over into their walk with God. It's not approving the things that are excellent. They're not concerned about excellence. We've talked about that the past few weeks. Where are people that want a spirit of excellence? Where are they? They're almost non-existent. It's this, what can I get by with? And people are measuring themselves by themselves. Now, you can look real good if you measure yourself by the average Christian, and if you measure yourself by the average American, you're going to look real good. You're going to look real good. You don't do that. You measure yourselves by the standards God puts up there. Now, when we measure our step by God's standards, we realize how far we fall short. And people don't want to look at that because people want to feel good about themselves. But y'all, the way you really feel good about yourself is that sense of well-being that comes when you are doing what is right. That's real life. And that's what I'm saying. If you walk in a life of consistent obedience to God, you're going to have a sense of fulfillment, a sense of joy and peace. You're going to exhibit the fruit of the Spirit because when He's in control, that's what's seen. That's what's seen. And you can look at people and you can know if God's in control or not. Is that true?
I don't know if you remember this, but I interrupted you too. You said God has chosen to limit Himself. What was the rest of
it? Well, He's chosen to limit Himself to what He's ordained would be, like, He chose to make man after the likeness of His image, to give him free moral choice and the ability to reason and think through. Y'all, we feel sorry for people who don't have the ability to reason and think through things. Is that true? See, people don't realize that God is long-suffering, and in that long-suffering is self-restraint. We looked at that when we looked at the long-suffering of God. It's not that God doesn't have wrath towards sin and the sinner every day, but God has control over Himself because He's all-powerful. He has control. He's self-limiting in areas. And if He chose to make things a certain way, that was His choice. And He doesn't change that choice just because you think He should or would. And it's like people, and I think I mentioned this to y'all, I've had people say to me, well, why did God take my mother? Now, she's 96. Right? And I'm thinking, you think she's going to live forever? You see, death is a result of the fall. Now, this morning, I've got a grand pig. A grand pig. Got his picture, her picture on my phone. My granddaughter came down last week, and her husband had bought her a miniature pig. She's about this big, cute little thing. Yeah, cute little pig. She really is cute. They get pigs as house pets are the latest things. They don't shed. They're potty trained when they're born. They use a litter box, and you can teach them to ring a bell when they need to go outside. It's amazing. And she knows who my granddaughter is. She knows that's her mother because she roots in her hand when she's hungry. So it is amazing. So my daughter called me this morning, and she said, I'm on my way to Rebecca's. The pig's sick. And Rebecca has taken him to the vet. Now, even though she's a professed atheist, she just wants me to have this information. And I'm wanting to say, why do you want me to have this information? You know, you really want me to pray about this, aren't you? See, even people who are professed atheists in time of trouble, they really want you to pray. To who? If there isn't a God. It's amazing how they believe in God, but they don't say they believe in God because they're mad at God for something He didn't cause. That's the way it is with her. And she said, I've got to talk to the grandchildren. And you know Rebecca, the granddaughter, when she lost one of their pets, died, she just had a real hard time with it. And she said, I'm going to have to explain to them why this pig may die. And I said, Angie, death is a result of Adam's fall. The kids need to know that early on. Sickness is a result of Adam's fall. It happens to animals. It happens to people. Now, she got no answer to that because theologically she doesn't believe like I do about those things. She's rejected the Word of God. I'll be anxious to find out how she explains this to the children. But you see, even young children can understand if you explain to them Adam and Eve chose to sin. And when they did, sickness and death entered the human race, and it affected all of creation, and it affected all creatures. As a result of that, things get sick and things die. and God didn't cause it. You think children can understand that? And see, we need to train children in those things. They can understand that. Otherwise, she said, well, you know, Rebecca prayed so for Reuben, and he still died. Now, what would happen to a child if they prayed and the dog died? They're going to blame God. Why? Because all lost people think God's in control. All lost people think God's in control.
I have a friend, and she grew up in the Baptist church, and she is liberal. She only believes what Jesus has said in the Bible, basically. I mean, all the other people who wrote the Bible.
That's just men, right?
Yeah, right, just men. Well, we were talking the other day, and she said, I have a problem with, you know, like God went into the promised land. He told Abraham to go into the promised land. And she said, all those people he killed.
Mm-hmm.
Why? How do I explain that?
Because if you read that, God told Abraham, I'm going to send this nation into a land. You remember? I'm going to send them into a place where they're going to be servants. Because the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. There's a time. And what that's saying is the people in that land were so sinful, but it was going to continue. And when it got to a point, then God was going to bring them out and take them in and destroy them. That's what it meant. That's what it meant. And you see, God will only let things go so far. And then because he's just and righteous and angry with the wicked every day, he's going to bring destruction.
That's right.
He's going to bring destruction. And so you have to know, yes, there are times God intervenes in human history. But it's his justice and righteousness that does that. But he lets him go on to a point.
Yeah.
And then he'll always destroy. Always destroy.
Yeah, because Israel was not imperialistic. They were under God. They got a certain part of that because of judgment. They were imperialistic. They were just taking over everywhere.
Right.
And that's not what happened.
Well, when God used evil nations to judge his people. Did he make them evil?
No.
He knew they were evil, and he knew what they wanted to do, and so that's wisdom, is you take even bad things to accomplish right purposes. Y'all, do you know we do that as people? How many of y'all had your flu vaccine? You know what a flu vaccine is made out of? It's made out of something bad. Right? But it's meant to good. Is that true? See, even we do those things. Even we do those things. All right. Always remember that God is just and righteous. That's one of the things when people do you evil, you just let it go. Just let it go. You forgive them because you know one day, maybe in this life, maybe in eternity, that's God's choice. But they're still going to reap consequences in this life. But one day, God's going to repay it. You don't try to repay it. And God can't be other than who he is because, remember, holiness is God is absolutely morally perfect. Perfect. And how people can say he's in control and makes people, you know, a true Calvinist says God even ordains sin, that he ordains every event. Now think about that. Every event, he ordains it. And when you see that, you say, this is not the God that I know. And it makes me rabidly angry. And the sad thing is, y'all, it's taken over our churches in this area. It's taken over because people are reading people rather than the book. They're reading people rather than the book. And this reasoning is twisted. Now, let me tell you what heresy is. Heresy may speak the truth, but it lays aside the truth in such a way as it does away with the truth. That's what the wrong teaching of the sovereignty of God is. They may teach on the attributes of God, but then they said that God is sovereign in such a way that it does away with who he is. Y'all got what I'm talking about? And this is why I looked at Sodom free last. Because I taught you what he was like. Alright? And if anything is contrary to what he is, you have to know sovereignty is not an attribute. It's a prerogative of God. It's a right because he's God. And people will say, well, the Bible says God does as he will among the hosts of heaven and the inhabitants of this earth. That is true. But not to the detriment of everything else Scripture says. And the Bible says God wounds and God heals and God kills and God makes alive. Does that mean that God wounds every person that gets sick? No. Sometimes they're sick because they were foolish and they exposed themselves, like these nurses that were taking care of the Ebola patients. They didn't take the protective gear off properly. Did God cause that, or was it their carelessness? Y'all got it? And you see, if we don't stop these people from Libya coming in, did God cause that? Now, God may be going to use it to punish our sin, but did he cause it, or did he use it? You see, you got to know the difference in causing and using. And you've got to know that God does not exempt you from anything that's happening all around. If people around you get the flu, what's going to happen to you? You're probably going to get the flu too. Did God wound you? No. That was your foolishness. Y'all got that? I don't go around people got the flu. Y'all? If you get it, don't come to Bible study. Till you get well.
You better be alive, I promise.
All right, our time is up. Are there any questions about God being in control?
That's good.
If I ever hear you say it again.
Yeah, I just have a question. How the different scriptures that come to my mind, but in John 9, where the people come and they ask about the guy who was born blind from
right,
birth.
Right.
And you know, obviously you probably right. studied this out, but he says, neither this man nor his parents sinned. This came. These are Jesus' words. He says, this came about so that God's works might be displayed in him, and then it goes on. So what
right. Because God takes what is and displays his glory through what is. Not that God caused that. You see, the Pharisees thought when people, and this is because of the blessings and curses in Deuteronomy, they thought if a person was poor or sick or lame or blind or anything bad, that God had caused it because either they or their parents or grandparents or somebody had sinned because of the cursing and blessing that came down. And Jesus is trying to correct them. And he's saying, no, this is a situation he found, but Jesus healed him so that the glory of God would be seen through Jesus. Remember, miracles were performed in order to confirm the man and his message. And every miracle Jesus performed was in order to confirm who he was and what he said. That's the purpose of miracles. So you always have to go to the bottom line purposes of things. Good question. Thank you.